This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to the Exploring Marketplace Podcast. Sean, what are we doing today?
You know, we have a fantastic episode lined up for everybody. We're going to be hearing from a friend of ours, Mark Walker, who's the founder of Walker's Furniture. And he started it in a 2,000 square foot building, but they've grown it to 13 stores, over 200 employees, and retail sales of over $60 million a year. And I mean, this is all because he dedicated his business to God and said, I want to create money and finances for the kingdom. And God grew it to this, which is just so cool. And then we have our real talk between you and I, and we're going to discuss the pitfalls here, get this, of prioritizing messaging over core business operations using Disney as a case study. Disney is now being referred to in several magazines, including Forbes online, as don't go Disney, don't do the Disney thing, which is when you prioritize a political or message more than you prioritize your business model. We're going to talk about that in context to Christians, because a lot of Christians sometimes prioritize messaging of Christianity more than being a Christian and doing business as a Christian. And so I think we can learn a lot, and we can highlight some really good examples of Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out and others who have a balance between their values and business practices and their messaging. So stay tuned. We have an incredible conversation right now.
Well, Sean, how about some listener feedback?
Let's do it.
Okay. Christine Cornwell on YouTube wrote, thank you for doing these shows. I'm learning so much. And you know what, Christine? So are we.
We are.
Every time. And we just love doing these shows. And we're hoping that our podcast can help show what Christianity looks like in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think I'm learning and becoming an expanded human because of doing this, because we hear so many stories, and you see all the different ways God can work. And so when we get pressed into challenges, immediately my faith just is already at someone else's faith that was on the show. Like, I'm just there with them in my faith going, you can do this, God, you can do this. And I can do this with you. So it's powerful. I want to hear what you guys are thinking about season four. We want to know. Leave a comment on our YouTube video or review on a podcast, or of course, write us at bowlesministries.com. We want to hear from you, because it's so exciting to hear how these are impacting you as well.
It's so good. Well, Sean, we have a real topic today.
We do. And our real topic is going to cover the impact of excessive messaging that panders to specific groups of people on companies meant for a general audience. So Disney is a prime example of the issue with woke Disney effect, resulting in really significant financial losses. I mean, they lost $6 billion on Disney Plus last year, $4 billion this year. They've lost over $250 million per major feature release of their movies. So it's up to $6 billion on movies just this year, Bob. I mean, it's crazy. It's resulted in so much loss, and it's really alienated their core audience. So the problem isn't unique to corporations. Many Christian businesses face similar challenges when messaging takes precedence over like a core operation or business. And we have to crucially balance the core business with additional messaging, ensuring the business practices and customer service remain the primary focus. And we see this with companies like Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out, where they illustrate the balance really well. In-N-Out even has scripture on the bottom of their packaging, but it doesn't take away from the product. And they uphold strong values without letting them overshadow their main focus, which is building food and excellent service. And these businesses prioritize their operations while expressing their values through how they treat their customers and employees first. And this approach really encourages living out values in a business practice. And it really ensures that messaging supports rather than overshadows that primary mission. So when it's done correctly, it leads to massive success, as we're seeing in Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A and now the more Christian businesses. But we also see in a lot of businesses that aren't overtly messaging that are led by Christian founders and Christian people as well. So a lot of times our actions speak louder than words, and people want to find out more because of that. But what do you think about this, Bob?
Well, you know, I think it's big business. You know, we're talking about Disney, we're talking about Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out. But let me tell you about something that happened in my business last month. Now, let me set this up a little bit. This has to do with values and messaging. We are a subcontractor, and we subcontract painting services from a general contractor, and the general contractor contracts with an owner, and the architect is the person who draws the blueprints over everything. So we are subcontracted on a job in downtown Los Angeles, a big job, and the architectural plans are ambiguous, and we can't figure some things out. So we've sent the architect a bunch of questions called requests for information, and we've gotten short, brusque replies. And the replies that he sent would cause the contract to double in value, which is unprecedented before we start a job. So we contacted the general contractor and said, listen, what the architect's asking for is going to cause a massive cost overrun, and we'd like to meet with them. So they set up a meeting, and my senior project manager and our team got all their ducks in a row and all the information, and they asked to lead the meeting. And so I decided, it was a Zoom call, so I decided to sit off camera and just kind of watch the meeting. Well, I don't know what happened, and I don't know what is in the relationship between the general contractor and the architect, but it did not. It started bad and went worse. Oof. To the point where the architect said that, you know, the owner had hired the wrong general contractor and obviously the wrong painting contractor, and that we didn't know our industry, and it really went downhill. And our team started arguing with him, and it was justified. We stopped the meeting, and everybody went into their respective corners, and we sat for an hour after and debriefed about, you know, how presumptuous the architect was. This was on a Friday, and all weekend the Lord was ministering to me like, you know, this isn't your company culture. This isn't your messaging. It doesn't matter that that you're right and that your team is right.
Wow.
And so when I got back in the office on Monday, I just decided to send an email, and I titled it Apology. And I emailed the architect and apologized for the letter that we sent to him, and that our behavior, and that wasn't our company culture, that we wanted to partner with he and his team, and we wanted it to be a beautiful project. And I sent it, and I copied my team, and they were mad at me.
Oh, wow.
Because we were right. And I said, I just can't let this message out there between the owner and the architect and the general contractor. Well, at the end of the day, I got an email back from this architect asking me to forgive him.
Wow.
And it changed everything. And my team was so shocked that this happened, because we're going to be in a relationship with this architect for the next 4 years.
Oh, man.
That's and so the messaging, I guess the reason I'm bringing this up in light of what you're talking about, Sean, is that I run a small business. I mean, compared to Disney and Chick-fil-A and these other companies, but it matters. The messaging, the culture matters. And I think as business owners, we have to stand up for what's right in our hearts, even if our team doesn't agree with us. I think we have to stand up for what God's telling us to do.
No, it's such a profound story, Bob. But I think, like, in the light of what we're sharing, there's kind of two messages here. There's one is, don't let your messaging take dominance of your business when it comes to feeling like a pressure to be overtly Christian. Don't let that be like what Disney's doing. The Disney effect, Christians do it all the time. Yeah. There's this other thing that we're saying, which is the story so beautifully illustrated in the midst of that, which is you got to know your company culture, and you got to actually fight for the culture of what you are and how to work with others, even sometimes when it puts you in a place where you have to humble yourself in a major way, even beyond. Like, sometimes it's like when Jesus said to repent, he said repent seven times, not to, you know, seven times. It's like this weird, overly, like, it's not weird when you do it, but it's just like take full responsibility and let people, like, be fully humble, and don't allow yourself to be partially humble or just, you know. And so I love that you were like, you were exercising humility to cause them to see what you guys were like, and sets you up for such different success for 4 years. I'm sure a lot of people are listening are like, I don't know if I could have done that, Bob.
Yeah, I didn't know if I could have done it either, but I did. And it was because of the power of the Lord. And you know, this scripture, Philippians 2:3-4, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I wasn't thinking about that, Sean.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that we did not represent our culture well. And, you know, after that happened, I came upon that scripture and it was like, oh, wow. I wish I would have been, you know, thinking like that. But God in all his wisdom helps us through these problems.
Well, like Proverbs 22:1, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, it all for the glory of God. In other words, what you're doing right now, that you don't have to say, I'm doing it for God. I'm glorifying God. I'm driving my car for God. You don't have, you just have to be, mm-hmm. you have to do it for God and just let that be your reality. And that will shine in every aspect of your life. And I think, you know, with cancel culture and cultural wars that are happening right now, and we are called to be a voice, it's hard not to sometimes want to create a cake business that only has Christian messaging in it, or want to do, you know, something like when there's a battle, to jump in and try and get the justice that you deserve because you're a Christian. And there's something about what you're displaying, which is let's show love, let's show who Jesus is, let's compromise in not our values, but in our relationships, the way we're doing business, in a way that where everyone wins. And I think
Sean, I want to ask you, you're on the front lines of news and commentating. What do you think these big businesses, how do you think they can handle this in this, you know, culture today? Because I don't see how a company like Disney or on the positive side, some of these businesses that are doing well, how do they protect themselves?
Well, I think it's super simple. Like there's the same businesses that are huge businesses that are giving millions or even billions of dollars to charities, that are the same scale as a Disney, who might have Christian CEOs or a Christian operating system, aren't promoting the fact that all the charities are giving to. They're not trying to say, mm-hmm. if you don't do business or if you don't give these charities or believe in these charities and you can't do business with us, we don't want you. I mean, the new Star Wars show, they literally said this is gay Star Wars and we don't want to appeal to our core audience base. We think that they're white misogynistic men and we don't want them. Well, when 70% of your audience base is exactly what they're describing it's white men who are, you know, in their 30s and 40s, they should actually want to serve that audience and love them and care for them. And they instead they said, we want to make something that they don't care about because we want Star Wars to become something else. And so I think that's the issue, is that people, you know, Starbucks gives a lot of money to charities I would never, ever support, but it doesn't make me not go to Starbucks. What makes me not go to Starbucks is if they don't serve me well and if they do all kinds of political causes. Mm-hmm. So I think these companies like Target, they've learned their lesson when they were doing all of the messaging for the Pride Month. And they lost billions of dollars and they realized we've been too aggressive and we're not paying attention to all of our people who are our patrons. We're only paying attention to a small minority who agree with these issues. And so we're not going to serve this way anymore. So I think the bigger thing is, it's not that you can't have certain things that are even a conflict of other people's values. It's that you can't focus on those things as your predominant, like In-N-Out, they have scriptures in the bottom of their cups. Right. I'm sure Muslims don't like that, but they don't care because they like the French fries. Mm-hmm. They like the drink. They don't care because they're not putting it on the top where you have to read it and feel like you're eating a Christian product to even eat it. They just have like a messaging that's just part of their product that they've had since they were, it's kind of a legacy kind of messaging. So I don't know. I just feel like people need to learn how to preach love through action. And then use words when it's applicable. But if, you know, for our foundation, if we told everybody for our ministry, all the places we give to, you know, the Christians may not agree with anti-human trafficking or some of these things that we're doing. Like, why do you give so much money towards that? It's like, because we want to rescue children. And Christians might go, well, there's better causes than that. There's stuff here right in America that you should do instead of, you know, worldwide domestic trafficking. So I think it's not an issue of representing or having those values. It's a matter of how you communicate them.
That's so good. We have a question from Discord on Bulls Ministries, but I read the question and I'm laughing because I think we've answered it. But how has being a Christian impacted your business lately? And can you give an example? And I think that I did a little earlier, but yeah, talk about that in your life.
I mean, it's so funny because we had a group that just merged with TBN called Merritt Street Media. So Merritt Street Media is the Dr. Phil channel. Mm-hmm. And so one of the employees that is new has kind of a Christian foundation, but not necessarily a walk with God, and was asking me a lot of questions about, like, why do you believe what you believe? And I've watched one of your episodes, because they were in the news area. I've watched one of your episodes and it's like, you're really interesting because you're not mean about saying what you say, but you say things that are just as strong as like Ben Shapiro, and he's just so mean and I can't stand him. And I love Ben Shapiro. And I said, well, you know, my goal isn't to convince you what I believe. My goal isn't just to become a sounding board or a parrot of whatever everybody else believes. My goal is to get you to discern what God's doing in our generation. Mm. Partner your faith to that. Maybe notice what the enemy's doing. Maybe notice what man's doing bad, but not stay focused on it. And so I think, like, for me, that's, and he was like shaken to his core. He goes, that's the kind of Christianity I can do.
Right.
Because I've been really struggling. So I think, like, this person who's probably not really saved yet is like getting to hear, was actually, they asked the question to me. I never, like, I'm not trying to have that conversation with somebody I'm new to, but I just think it's pretty cool. I think that there's like, I think the way that I'm doing business right now and the way we're doing our commentary and stuff is actually creating open conversations with other people where they're willing to have conversations that may not be about safe subjects normally to them, but they feel safe with me. And I think that's huge.
That's so good. I love that type of evangelism where it's relational based and they actually ask you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So good. Well, Sean, talk to us about our guest coming up.
Well, we have Mark Walker, who's the visionary founder of Walker's Furniture, which started in 2,000 square feet. I mean, that's crazy. That's so small. It's not even a whole house, you know. But he grew the business into a successful chain of 13 stores, employing over 200 people, and generating $60 million in annual retail sales. Wow. And his commitment to the financing the gospel and advancing God's kingdom has made Walker's Furniture a cornerstone of the community up in Spokane, Washington, and that whole Pacific Northwest. Mark's also a devoted husband and father. We love his wife and kids. And also grandfather, and he and his wife, Pam, passionately support ministries making a difference both locally and globally. And we get to dive right into Mark's journey. He just wrote a book that I think is going to be so profound. And we're going to hear about his story as a businessman for all these years and how partnering his faith has made a big difference to ministries like ours.
Can't wait. Up next, Mark Walker.
Are you ready to take your spiritual growth journey even more seriously, all while being involved in an active and engaged community online? Well, we have classes, activation groups, online Discord community, and a 12-month spiritual growth discipleship accelerator that I get to lead. They're going to help you embrace subjects like hearing God's voice, being empowered every day by the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, and developing your spiritual disciplines in a way that's both practical and very practiced. And I've invited expert ministers in all kinds of subjects alongside myself to teach you for 4 weeks classes each month. And if the subject that they're teaching each month isn't effective or is not relevant to the phase of your spiritual growth, we also take past classes and have our pastoral team facilitate totally different subjects for 4 weeks, so you have multiple class options on subjects that matter to you. I can't wait to spend 2 accelerator hours a month with you as I get to activate you, pour into you, and mentor you in practicing hearing God's voice. By the end of these 12 months together, I know you're going to have confidence in your own ability to trust God and yourself and actually speak to you. Come join us in Spiritual Growth Academy. It's going to be one of the greatest decisions you've ever made.
Well, welcome back, Sean. We are here with Mark Walker. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here. It's a real honor.
Well, it's a real honor to have you because you've been one of our partners for years and have helped the show. And it was so fun to see that you've written a book because your and Pam's story has been such a pivotal part of Sheree and I just giving us faith through the years. But this book is really important, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. But we get to talk about your story right now because you guys – in what we said in the introduction, you guys own these incredible furniture stores, and you've done this because of a leading from God from the very beginning. So talk about how God launched your business career.
Well, you know, basically it started in college. I was questioning my major. I'm in college. I'm trying to ask God, how can I make a difference? And actually I'm in a small meeting and I heard a pastor, he said what was holding back the gospel was finances and that God was actually going to launch people in their career and their business. He's going to give them inventions. He's giving them strategies and solutions and how God was going to anoint them to be very successful so that they could finance the gospel. Now, you know, the interesting thing is I grew up Catholic and I had never heard that. That was kind of a new concept to me. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking I can actually make a difference by starting a business. I was all in. I was all excited. At the time, I had no money. I didn't have any really idea what I would do. But all of a sudden, I'm ready. You know, I wanted to do it. Well, the scripture that this pastor was saying was Deuteronomy 8:18, that God will give you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant, that God actually wanted to help me, that God wanted, you know, to be part of my business. So it started happening. I got a couple of checks in the mail from my grandfather. Things, money started coming my way, and I was excited to do my part and to give generously. Then I got married. You mentioned Pam. You know, that was the biggest miracle. My wife, we got married. I mean, she was way above my pay level.
Yeah.
But she was excited to be part of our mission, to start a business, to support the gospel. So we just were so excited. And God gave us a couple houses. At the last house we sold, we took that money and started a 2,000 square foot furniture store. I mean, we were so small. It was a 30,000 and a 60,000 and not too far, 120,000 square foot furniture store. And they had beautiful lines of furniture, you know, and here we were so small. I mean,
2,000 square feet.
Our competition wasn't concerned, you know. Yeah, most houses weren't even, you know, were bigger than us. So, but, you know, we were so excited to start partnering with God. And God actually blessed it from day one. I mean, we actually, our first month, we made money, you know. I was working so hard and we were making sacrifices, you know. We kept our personal expenses very low and so that we could actually start giving right away. God blessed our business from the beginning. Actually, a month after we opened, our competition, not next to us, but in our city, went out of business, and they started sending their customers to us as they ran out of
product. Oh my gosh.
So many things. God actually had the timing. So many things happened to help us start our business. But, you know, God was so faithful. And as we partnered with him, you know, great locations with great employees. And now where we're at now, you know, we have 13 stores and 200 employees. And, you know, God's just, it's just amazing what God's done.
Mark, that is amazing. But I want to go back to something you said. Did you feel like in the beginning you were mandated by the Lord to partner with him as generosity? Because what I think I heard you say is you wanted to start this business to resource the kingdom of God. And so was that sort of the business plan from the beginning?
From the beginning. That was actually my whole goal. I just wanted to give more. And so I actually, basically from my personal income, as our business would grow, I set a goal to give 20 to 30% of our income to ministries, to, you know, the church and to ministries. And so it really was why I kept growing my business. Why actually within 8 months, we opened our second store, you know, another small store, but we, you know, we were so excited that God was blessing our business. So that was our goal. And the only reason I would grow my business is to help ministries. And so I really felt God anointing as he kept pouring in his grace to help us when things came up, give us strategies, give us ideas what to do. Yeah, it really was my priority. And
probably people are listening and going, wow, that's a really significant priority that maybe they don't have, or maybe they haven't felt or heard before on that level, because it sounds like it has been your motivation. Talk about then, you expanded the stores pretty quickly over a small period of time. And there was even kind of a story in there where, because you expanded so fast, that where God even brought some course correction to you. And I love that, because I think it's like shows the reality of walking with God, that we're having to keep our ear to the wall, so to speak, or to his heart, so to speak, so quickly. But talk about that story.
Well, we had 7 stores at one point, and then all of a sudden an opportunity came to where we could go from 7 stores to 12. It was 5 stores all at once. We grabbed it. They gave us an amazing deal. We grabbed it. But actually what happened was, a year later after doing it, all of a sudden I realized we were growing so fast that I had to get a new warehouse. I had to get a bigger warehouse. And so all of a sudden we're moving, we're about ready to move into this warehouse. I don't know if you think about this, you're moving $2 million worth of furniture all at once. We wanted to improve our operations, bar label all our furniture as we're moving. And so many things had to happen. We had to do it in a week, or all of a sudden it could have been. We were stopping all the furniture from coming in. We would get 5 containers to 6 containers a day. And then, so we had to stop all those containers, and then they were going to come a week later. And so we had to get everything from the one location.
I'm already exhausted.
We had to have our computer, our whole system in place, moved right away. But the biggest thing that happened is my office manager, she gave her notice, and she, who was going to help do the whole thing, you know, she was going to move. She wouldn't even be there. She had to move and move to a different city to take this job. It was a point where all of a sudden I was not sleeping. All of a sudden the problems were so much bigger than, you know, I could see all the things that could have happened, that we could have had all this furniture logjam. And I was questioning really at the time, did I miss it? Did I grow too fast? You know, and I just had to really press in. I just had to pull back and just really reestablish. I had started my business with God. It took me a while, but everything worked out. And I was amazed. God was so faithful in that situation. I just had to press in and just make it, you know, make it happen.
Tell me, Mark, what you're in high level business, you're making some massive decisions while you're moving, you're still having to operate your stores. And when you say you press in, what scripture or what did you stand on? Give our listeners and viewers a window into how you press in and what it looks like for you to lean into the heart of God.
Well, one of the best decisions I made was, you know, not only was I partnered with God, but I said, God, I want to make you my CEO. I don't want to make all these decisions around what I desire or how I want it to look. So I really did develop a habit of spending time in the morning before I would even go to work, of just leaning in, pressing in, and increase my time with him and seek his advice, for especially when big things like this happen. That really was so important, that quiet time, because when I was at work, it was, I had people coming and going, and, you know, you have so many things going. It's just to develop that time. So to me, my quiet time in the morning was so good. And the scripture that came to mind was, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes. Lean not in your own heart, but all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But yes. I, so many times, you know, things would come up at work, and I would acknowledge him, say, I would remind him, God, we're in this together. Yeah. You know, we are in this together. I'm glad, you know, you're here. And, you know, you get the picture where you're even yoked, you know, Jesus would say, come to me and take my yoke. And yeah. That really is that picture of, we're partnered with his strength. And you have to see that and kind of get to know that he's there. So many times that's so important to see that you're yoked together with him, and to press into that, because he is. You know, you think of when Joshua was going into the promised land, he says, do not fear, I am with you. If there's anything, I want to encourage people in business in a high pressure career, you have to get that so deep in your heart that God is with you, and take that time to lean into him. Yeah. You know, even when things are going good, that's probably the most important time too, is when things are going really good, successful, you got to lean in so you make the right decisions and keep, you know, keep hearing him. Because sometimes when things are going so good, you kind of get so busy, you're not taking that time. So yeah.
I love that. I love the answer, because it's so real. It's just so practical, and it's real to you. It's like who you really are. Talk about a time in business when I think a lot of people are afraid of competition, or a lot of people are afraid of, like, what if we aren't as big as somebody else, or we don't have the same big ideas as somebody else? Is it worth doing the business anyways? And you guys were, you started at 2,000 square feet. So you guys had boldness to say, even though there's a big furniture stores here, it's worth doing. But you had a time when some really big stores moved in. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, I remember that. I think at the time we had about a 5,000 square foot store, and then we had another store out in the valley. But all of a sudden a store came into town. They were like 70,000 square feet. But more importantly, we were advertising half of the newspaper at that point, you know, half page. And they came in, all of a sudden they're advertising what you call double trucks, but there were four double trucks. So they took two full pages, and they were advertising.
Oh, man.
So all of a sudden, our ad, no one was paying attention to our advertising. I'm spending money on advertising, and they had some special deals, and they were selling a lot of other stuff, electronics and, you know, appliances and match. And so many things. So they just got the attention. And I had to decide at that point. I say, you know, God, do I pull back? What do I do? My sales were impacted, and I pulled back my advertising, and I really pressed in, and God actually encouraged me to increase my advertising, to look at every area aspect. Our lines were carrying, the furniture we're carrying, to try to improve. every area, you know, even though if it was costing us, God just pressed me to really press in. And we did that. And actually, that other store then opened another store in our market by our other store. So now there's two of these stores in our market, gosh, in our main market in Spokane. And we just kept going in and our business was started maintaining. And then all of a sudden, after 4 years of going through that, that business was gone. All of a sudden, they declared bankruptcy. They had grown too fast and had done some things. All of a sudden, they're gone. And all of a sudden, our business was positioned then to grow, get bigger stores and to take on the market share. That time of adversity actually made us stronger because we went to a new level. And another time, mattress stores. There were a time when all of a sudden we have like in our region, 17 to 18 mattress stores. Wow. And they were dominating in the mattress advertising. Same thing. You know, again, a lot of furniture stores around the country, they would pull back. And what really God put on my heart to just press in. And so we actually increased our displays. We took our, I think if we had like 13 mattresses displayed, all of a sudden now we were displaying 30. And wow, we all of a sudden made bigger displays and then we started advertising more. And we just, God just told us to press in. It was amazing. Our mattress sales took off. Mattress Firm at one point did declare bankruptcy, and they're still here in our market, but they cut back about six or seven of those stores, and they cut back. They're not advertising as much. So, you know, it's just interesting that God was faithful. Adversity actually made us stronger as we looked at and listened, and He told us what to do.
That's profound.
Mark, I hear in that story, I heard you say when the first competitor came in, it took 4 years. And the perseverance that, you know, as business people, we have to have sometimes it just, you think, will it ever end? And I know I talk to young people a lot and they want results overnight. And, you know, when I heard you say 4 years, I was shaking my head because we've been through some of these same things that just take years and years and years to resolve. And then God gives a supernatural strategy. The second point you made about increasing your advertising is, doesn't make sense in the natural, but when God tells you to do it, it makes sense. And you have the supernatural strategy, which I think, Sean, we should transition and talk about Mark's new book, The Multiplication Factor, and what led you to write your book.
Well, be honest with you, I first started to write a small book just for my grandsons. They're growing up, all they're thinking about is he's rich, he has all these furniture stores, but I wanted to know the story, what God did. And so, and writing it, God encouraged me that this testimony would really encourage a lot of people, because actually the book had 16 truths about partnering with God, and each chapter actually starts with a promise that actually helped me start my business and grow my business and overcome in different obstacles. So I really believe you connect to the power of God through His promises. So each chapter really goes into a lot of key things, truths that help me grow our business and be successful in business. So
tell us how people can get the book, Mark, and tell us how people can get a hold of Walker Furniture and you personally.
Well, you know, we have this site, themultiplicationfactor.com, you can go to. That has a lot of information there about our book, and you can buy the book there. It's also available on Amazon, you know, Multiplication Factor by Mark Walker.
Perfect. Well, we're so glad you're on the show today, Mark. Thanks so much for being with us and sharing just like the real stories. Like, these are such good stories. I think people can relate to the fact that we need God to lead us. And if we do have Him leading us, He'll give us a much different result. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great. I really hope the book will encourage people that when you partner with God, anything's possible.
We heard it here at The Multiplication Factor. I want to encourage you to get a hold of Mark's book and also follow us on social media. Go to YouTube and click Exploring the Marketplace with Sean and Bob. And you're going to find us there with all of our episodes, as well as everywhere podcasts are distributed. We're finding new audiences on places like Spotify and others. We want to encourage you to leave a review. Tell us you're there. Tell us where you're listening from. And we will see you next time on Exploring the Marketplace.